Hi friends, we start with chapter 11 on data analysis overall under the subject of marketing research. We have defined objectives which is to understand the data analysis part of it, multiple aspects within the data analysis that we need to understand, and there are certain techniques about the data analysis, more of a statistical side. Friend, one caution, yes, this entire chapter is mostly on a statistical techniques, etc. Intent is not to make you statisticians. Intent is to give you the basic perspective. So my request to you also is to make an effort to at least understand the basic of it, not struggle to derive statistical competency as such. And so data analysis, very quickly, it's like after the data is gathered, and how do you make a meaning out of it? To make a meaning out of it, you have to put data in a particular order, you have to calculate certain things out of it, for which various techniques and models are being developed by the statisticians, and therefore it helps you to derive certain meaningful conclusion out of the collected data. Of course, objective is to convert the collected questionnaire or focus group discussion based data that we have gathered into certain meaningful observations, meaningful inferences. But however, in the era of this digital explosion where consumers have so many touch points, you try to have so much of a data coming in, how to meaningfully analyze it? That's the challenge wherein again technocrats and marketing research people are working on, to see that how that assimilation is flawless, smooth, or as they say, more and more real time. So that data is always live, the analysis is always live, the meaningful and quick corrective measures can be taken. Research believes that the data itself doesn't convey. So it's the care that of course one need to have is like a data analysis, despite the best of the statisticians and tools and techniques and modeling being developed and available, reading it, inferring it and taking decision out of it is a different science in itself. However, the data analysis and the decision, they have certain correlation, interrelated relation between them. As I would like to quickly take you through that, you know, what is that the data analysis, why it is important, how to look at it. So this is a case example of a limited interpretations wherein there are two types of product whose sales figures are given. Looking at this, you can easily derive that, you know, that the blue white this thing is now gaining more traction in the market and the bleach sale is affected. But when you see it in a larger perspective, what comes out is there were other manufacturers of the bleach also in the market, and they were trying to maintain their own positions, and as a result that overall the bleach category was getting affected, and not just because the new product blue white has come in the market that the sale of one particular this thing was growing. So what is important is to really make a very detailed interpretation. So your what should be your analysis, what should be the analysis basket, the nature of data, the coverage of the data, etc., all put together makes a meaningful analysis. So the questions are like what will make my data analysis more fruitful. So it of course, what do you collect, the way you collect, the quality of what you collected, etc. How have you collected? So whether it is linked, the way you asked a question, has it been thoughtfully decided ke by how this is going to get interpreted? So for that interpretation, what will be it is analyzed as? Simple mere frequency tabulation, average, mean, median, mode. What is a standard deviation? Will it get any meaningful conclusion out of it, etc.? Or whether are you going to point ranking, whether you need a ranking as a answer to answer specific research problem, etc. So all this matters in your collected data. Following questions do get answered. One need to really ensure that the quality is correct, the missing observations are not there. There should not be too many things which is like not answered or it's like missed out or this thing. Extreme observations needs to be really factored in, and probably at the time of your analysis you either ignore them or you have purposefully ignored them from your calculations, etc. Initial data analysis use the description of the data in the following questions, and is the quality of the measurement. So, like again, what is the quality of measurement that I am going to use? Yani, what techniques, the tools, the dispersions, how the spread of the data is, what are the tool that is going to first determine whether this is a statistically relevant this thing, then whether this mean this thing has a statistical correlation or not, etc., with the inference, etc. Significance of it, yani, whether the data observed, yani, or the analysis observed, can it be can it be extrapolated on a larger population? So that is a significant test, etc. Data collection or the analysis is giving you some homogeneous picture or not, etc. We continue to answer the understand the data and analysis part, and what kind of interpretation or the description of the data that may come in. Implementation program, whether it is in line with the research design. So are you moving as per the in that, what kind of a data was supposed to be the sampling design, the sample you need, the way to select sample, probability, non-probability, simple random, stratified random, etc. All those aspects needs to be factored in. There are certain questions to be, there are answers, like if there is no reply to it, and will it impact your statistical or the data analysis, etc., that needs to really come out. Logically wrong answer. So what happens, the consumers answers you, but what may happen is a contradiction within what is answered earlier and what is answering now, etc. So that needs to be really seen how to handle it, and no answer, though the you were supposed to give an answer, answer given but is not really applicable, etc. Those aspects needs to be really factored in. Answer is giving a normal curve, yani, so you are not really building up this thing. It is like normal curve is a statistical phenomena where things are supposed to be equally on a positive side and a negative side. Now, if that is the case, that means you have not been really able to factor the trend or find the trend out of it. Yani. So, friends, you have primary analytical techniques to be understood, which is simple correlation of to study the association between the variables in the question that you have asked and the type of data that you have gathered. Of course, both these aspects are very well correlated. What we try to understand is the what is the formal data analysis plan. So, formal data analysis plan talks about the variables that has been studied, the relation between them, whether it is inverse, direct, correlation, etc. So, what is it? How will that get derived? Whether the mean, median, mode, etc. What will conclude? What will conclusively give idea about its statistical relevance, etc. Those aspects will come out. So, now what we come to a stage of understanding the techniques of data analysis as such. And there are two levels at which it is done, the lower level and higher level. Higher level is not necessarily needed to be applied for every question, every research problem or the objective to derive answer to. Lower levels are generally basic summarization, basic dispersion understanding, cross tabulation based data, etc., that you derive, while the higher levels are generally done to see that hypotheses are matched or not, etc. So, after arriving all the data analysis, etc., there may be certain cross issues are tabulated and, you know, verified to derive the answer to various hypothesis related answers, or to make a meaning whether your hypothesis is right or wrong. So, ultimately, at the end of the research, you have to see that whether your hypothesis is stand valid or stand rejected, for which whatever that you do needs a higher level of data analysis, which is not a result of simple one question. It is a result of some related aspects, etc. So, that's where the higher aspect of data techniques come in. Data analysis starts with the data acquisition. I will not really spend much time. We have studied earlier. Acquisition has various connotations. Quanti, quali, exploratory or descriptive, etc. Questions again can be open-ended, close-ended, etc. So, all those aspects needs to be really factored in your data acquisition approach that you do. It has also the plan that has to come in as to how are you going to approach this data acquisition part. However, in this data acquisition phase, what you need to really keep in mind is what is the measurement level that is going to come in, and nominal, ordinal, preference based or interval scales, etc. So for each kind of a question or the expected answer, this needs to be really looked at. If this is answered this way, what will it get you, using which technique that it will get you, and what is the meaning of it? So I have tried explaining as we go forward through an example. It's a scale, yani, where actually numbers can get grouped into four types of level: nominal, ordinal, interval and ratio. Let's go to straight away an example. So nominal is just a number, yani. There is no other meaning out of it, yani. So meal preference, breakfast, lunch, dinner, or religious preference, whether I'm a Buddhist, Hindu, or Christian, etc. Time of the day again can be one number. So that's the nominal this thing. Binary in various competitive formats, etc., or various competitive exams and all, the binary approach is taken. If your answer is right, either one or zero, instead of getting into giving you multiple level of scores, etc. So that's the nominal scale. Ordinal scale has one level above the normal information that is available. So now ordinal time of the day, then you can also classify it as a night, dawn, the evening or a noon or fiesta time, etc. Level of agreement not known, may not be yes, etc. So you have created an ordinal scale, yani. So this kind of an approach you can now determine how will it, the same question if answered on a nominal scale or an ordinal scale, changes the meaning slightly. Interval scales, it takes it to a further higher level where better information can be captured in a grouped manner. You create the right intervals. Customers are able to therefore express themselves better. As you can see, time of the day again could be 12 to 3, 3 to 6, etc. Political orientations again on a score of certain parties, yani leftist, and in that you create a standardized scale, etc. So this is what is that interval scale is all about. It creates a graded understanding of the answer. It allows the customer to express himself freely, better manner, etc. It has its own meaning. Yani. Now you can see that is the same thing, time of the day, which is 9 a.m. vis-a-vis morning, afternoon, evening, vis-a-vis 12 to 3, you know, it is how it changes the way the interpretation can be. The ratio scale, what you see is like the ratio between certain aspects, yani. So years of work, you know, to the total years of your life, etc. Graded point average, there are the numbers, various things can be put into a ratio. So now the ratio again gives you a better perspective. And so positioning the qualities of nominal, ordinal and interval scale, ratio scale is an absolute zero. That is a point where none of the quality being measured are there. And so the, from them zero, then you give it a perspective that creates a ratio scale. Ratio scale permits you a comparison such as being twice as high or one and a half time or so, you know, two third, one third approach and those kind of things come out using a ratio scale approach to the measurement. So three important steps that come into data analysis. So what are they? So we need to really understand whether are you going to apply a univariate analysis or your bivariate analysis, or you need to do a multi-factor, multivariate analysis. So we are going to study this as we move forward. It's a first step, yani, where first of all, when you start, you definitely do all questions, answers into a univariate analysis. Then you need to move to what you call a bivariate analysis. Certain things you need to connect. Somebody telling you that yes, I will buy a 100 inch LED television costing say like lakh and plus, but his income disposition, whether that is right. So you then bivariate analysis, that is income level versus his intent to purchase, etc. You try to correlate, try to relate them through bivariate. Multivariate is like one decision is on account of certain related all aspects, yani. So you try to cover in such a way that you are able to create a multivariate table, and then you translate into some analysis, and that analysis reveals you certain aspects. So this is how the overall thing progresses, especially for the hypothesis and that level that you need to check finally after doing that entire detailed survey. You generally move to bivariate and multivariate analysis stage. We will understand them as we take one by one. Univariate analysis is the purpose of the univariate analysis, to just arrive at a meaningful conclusion of the single data that has been collected, single data point that you have collected. That's the essence of a univariate analysis. Is a concern with the summarization of an individual. So that summarization can have a mean, median, mode of kind of orientation, to which you can even study the standard deviations, etc. Yes, no is also a summarization in itself, and then the ratio of yes, no gives you the perspective or a meaning of a question asked, or meaning that consumer trying to convey you, etc. What are the important tools within that? So as I said, like 100 yes, no, this thing, then how do you do this? So one is a frequency tabulation. So you actually count how many yes, how many no, etc. The second is the central tendency. So all mean, median, mode calculation using a statistical tool, or plotting and histogram, and then grouping technology, technique that you can use. Univariate exposes each variable in a data set separately and describes the pattern in its own way for that particular point of question. So it just describes the level of marriedness. So are you married? That's a question, and people have said whatever. So in my data sample population, 70% were married people. Now if it is a product which is linked to a married man, then you can see that your overall sample, this thing has withstand the necessary requirement. But if that is not the case, then you have to really look at what next can be done about it. So I was talking about univariate. First is a frequency tabulation. I would like to really go a little fast out here. It just calculates the number for yes, no. This is how it has been done generally. Four vertical this thing, and when you put a cross tab to that, is makes it a five. So it is calculated as a number of fives, and then loose vertical strings makes a count. I have just given an example. The blue tick that you see has gone above that four. Actually, this is a kind of this thing, but it's okay. You know basically what is frequency tabulations. One need to really, it's like just calculating how many yes or no, how many you said maybe, how many you said buy, will buy, how many you said will not buy, etc. So that's how when you do it, it's a frequency tabulation. A central tendency is nothing but mean, median, mode, etc. that one need to calculate. We are not going to get into, as I said, how to calculate the arithmetic mean. But mean is nothing but an average value. It means that this is an average of that particular group. Mode is the value occurring most. So, how many have said I will surely buy? How many have said I may buy? Or those kind of. So, it really brings out which is the one which has come out more. So, it gives you that as an idea. How much time do you spend in a garage when your car is under repair? 30% of my work time. So, this question can be answered. So, the mode needs to be really looked at rather than the mean of it, as they say. So, and then the median is used to derive the central tendency where variables having continual property. For example, when we are dealing with the average age of a sample, then median is always used instead of mode. Because age is something which is needed to be understood. What is it that overall people life that you have analyzed and the sample that you have met? What is the life this thing that is emerging out of it? So it's not an average of this thing. It is a median that has to be calculated. So you get an idea of what is it overall representation about your group in terms of life. Important tools in univariate analysis is the grouping technique. That's another one more important technique that has been used. This technique is used when collected values are too scattered. For example, if one needs to draw a conclusions on a eating habits of an individual between the age specific age group, it will be a better idea to create a small group. So 15 to 18, 19 to 23, 23 to 25, etc. And under that, whatever that answers have come, and you derive meaningful conclusion that way, rather than just people have given you an answer, you put a complete 100 people in one group and then derive a conclusion, then that may be wrong. So it's like a grouping that many times facilitates the measure of central tendency. Histogram is a representation of numbers into a manner that you get a complete idea visually as to what is high in your preference, or high in your likes, or high in your dislikes, etc. It's a user friendly tool. By looking at the bar chart, you are able to get the meaningful conclusion of your central tendency, or you get an idea about what is the overall meaning or the finding coming out of your data analysis. Here is an example of a univariate I would like to present. So it's a study of a diabetic people and its severity. Diabetes is linked to a severity rating that universal standards are applicable. Now, if I just put in this type A, type B and the severity level, it's like a univariate analysis. And if I just do the simple calculation of it, this will be the finding. Severity and its corresponding values. So severity 1, there is only one case reported, 4, there are 3. And because 2, 3, 4, there is a 3, 3, 3, you are not able to really draw meaningful conclusions about from the. So that's the drawback of a univariate analysis which comes out, because it is using a single approach to analyzing your data. In the grouped data, so when, as I was telling you earlier, that the grouping always facilitates things, etc. So now I have grouped, the severity 1 to 2 is a mild, 3 is moderate, and 4 is critical. Now if the same data, that severity level is classified into this group, then what comes out is the mild is 4, moderate is 3, critical is 3. Something is better than merely this level. So that's the advantage of a grouping in the univariate analysis. You continue to still understand only one variable better. Univariate analysis, the elements are like point estimation and interval estimation. The point estimation deals with, wherein like there is an example given, is the estimation of the population provided by the single number is known as a point estimation. So entire population is represented as the one number, that's the point estimation. A single statistic is used to provide an estimate of a population parameter. In one point estimation, we find a static the number used or unknown parameter of the population for all the practical purposes. And so in general, it's like a meaning, mean, median, mode, etc. Fall under what you call say point estimation. This is an example. It's a normal curve. Both the extremes are there, and then you arrive at a one particular level at which your average is, central tendency is, and that will give you some idea. Interval estimation is between the two extreme interval. So here there is a point and interval estimates which has been presented to you. Point estimate is a single number, while the confidence interval, lower confidence and the upper confidence, is an interval estimation. And then you collect the data on that and you will be able to derive a specific average then. So it's considered as an interval estimation. So within this, where is it? Neutral, more towards lower confidence, or more towards the higher upper confidence? That comes out of when you do the interval estimation of a univariate analysis type. Interval estimation, there are situations where you either have a point estimation is not desirable, and we are interested in finding such limits within which a known probability or a known degree of reliance can be achieved. So that is what 95% confidence interval, as they say, or 90% confidence interval, as they say. So these are those values which is available to you in the statistical table. And when you refer that, you are able to determine about your answer that you have got. So it's a simple process of estimation where interval estimations are always better. Continuing to understand the interval estimation, is the range of visuals used in making an estimation of a population parameter, T minus S, T plus S, etc. So, there is always a negative side to it and the positive side, which makes one interval. It generates the, it gives you the idea of a confidence index or confidence interval, as they say. And when it is technically, statistically established that you are at this confidence level, you can say that your interval estimation is as expected, or it is giving you a reliable conclusion. Bivariate analysis, we move to very important aspects under the data. Here two variables are related and analyzed. So, study of gender and attitudes towards female equality are the two variables. So, gender is male, female, and what do they think about the female equality? So, now you just go and do the male, female, so of my total population, so many male and so many female, and of the gender equality, their answer to separately means nothing. They may just give you certain indicators, but this needs to be related. That's what this bivariate analysis, that how many male people have told you about the, you know, attitude towards female equality, and how many female have said something about the female equality, etc. That will reveal the right data. So, use of bivariate is therefore popular. You move from univariate, then you get into certain association. So, like establishing my oral hygiene condition, I may say that, you know, I need a high quality toothpaste, etc. But when you correlate, or when you relate that how many times a day I brush, and if it is only single one time a day, your simple analysis will probably reveal you different thing. But when you do this, how many times those who have said more than one are more conscious about the hygiene of the dental care, vis-a-vis how many single users have said something about the dental hygiene, and then you derive a very important meaning. So, whether those are single type, doing or just talking about it, or the two time, people who do the brushing twice a day are more serious about it, and those aspects can really come out. There are techniques of bivariate analysis, as they say, which is chi-square or key-square, as they say. It's a useful measure. One need to really understand. It's a useful measure which provides you a set of frequencies which is, when observed, will tell you the reliability of the data that you have gathered. So, the meaningful association that comes out in the bivariate analysis, it establishes this particular technique, tells you that these two are very well related or not. So, discrepancies occurred due to the error of sampling or chance. So, if there is a discrepancy, whether that's a sampling based discrepancy or it is by chance, that also comes out. So, if it is by chance, means you can continue. If it is by sampling error, then you need to really take some corrective actions. So, we are trying to understand this chi-square test as a tool more. I will say that I will enlighten you to an extent that you understand basics, but not to make you a statistician. So, here is a goodness of fit. As they say, this is a technique which will give you a goodness of fit between the observed and the expected. Where the deviations, the deviation that has been noticed is on account of chance or is on account due to some other external factor or sampling factors, etc. So, this deviation, if it is on chance, there is a statistical call to it, if it is due to something else, it means certain thing to the statisticians, and then from that, from there you are going to determine validity of your null hypothesis. So, therefore, it is a very important test. If it is by chance or within that given significance interval level, means your hypothesis is very well tested and what comes out of it is related to your null hypothesis or not. That will be the meaning. Techniques of bivariate, as I said, first we have covered, that is chi-square test. Second is the Pearson's chi-square test. It is a good test to assess two type of comparison, the goodness of fit and the test of independence. So, goodness of fit we have kind of discussed. where whether or not an observed frequency distribution differs from the theoretical distribution. And so theoretical distribution and the observed frequency distribution, is it matching or not? That comes out through goodness of fit. While test of independence, that is assess whether the paired observations on two variables expressed in a contingency table, expressed in a tabular manner, will relate to you, will reveal to you whether these two things are interdependent or not, or they are an independent factor. So that is the importance of, so here the example is given is that the polling response from the people of different nationalities, one can see whether the nationality is related to the response or not. So that's how the independent aspects can be studied by chi-square test. And here is a formula, not that you need to really memorize. It has an explanation given to it. And then we go to the next technique of bivariate analysis, which is a correlation technique. Correlation, as the name suggests, is to try and see relativeness of two factors, so tendency of the two groups or two datas, whether they sync in with each other or not, so whether they're directly proportionate or they are indirectly or inversely proportionate, as they say. Directly means they will move in that same order. Inversely is like when one moves in one direction, the other moves in the different direction, but that itself is a correlation. So there's a relation there, so that's what you are trying to study through correlation analysis by applying it to your data. So data when correlated, so your sales figures are a correlation analysis. So sales figures are correlated, say, with the price. Then you can determine with the reduction in my price, the sale has increased, or with the increase in my price, the sale has increased, or any such scenario. So that's the importance of a correlation technique. Again, under that, you have a rank correlation. This method, over and above the correlation, it dwells upon developing a coefficient of correlation. So therefore, this is known as this has been invented by Spearman. So it's a Spearman's rank correlation. In this method, you also rank the item rather than on their actual values, as in the Pearson method. Hence, the advantage of this method is that it can be used when actual values are not known. For example, let's talk the example. If we need to find the correlation between the honesty and the wisdom of an individual, Pearson's formula is not suitable. It is just trying to correlate the given answer. But we can rank the person's honesty and wisdom and then try and use the Pearson's mean correlation of coefficient formula to derive. So that's the rank correlation formula. This is an explanation to there, which is out here. Not that you need to really hard memorize it. But yes, you need to understand the merits of this rank correlation. Spearman's coefficient is easy to understand and therefore easy to calculate as compared to Pearson's coefficient. Why? Let's again, being a statistical aspects, we don't get into it. This method can be applied even when the data is qualitative. So, when you are analyzing a qualitative data, probably the rank correlation can still be applied. This is the only method which can be used when only the order of item is known and the actual values are not known. So, this is the order, first this, second this, third this, then you can use the rank correlation. Demerits of this rank correlations are like less accurate than the Pearson's method, cannot be used when the data is grouped. So when you group the data, we have seen that one of the approach earlier, then this formula cannot be applied. So group, we have understood earlier, has its own strong meaning, the reason, the need. If that is the case, then you probably cannot apply the rank correlation to that. Calculation using this method is complex when the number of items, especially when the values are missing and only the ranks are there. So that's the limitations or the disadvantage of, as they say, rank correlation.